Brother Dana, brother mine, delivers you best worst case scenario podcast.
I'm drinking for you too.
Why? What did you two ever do for you?
I'm drinking for you too.
Oh, I thought you meant you're drinking for the band. You too.
Fuck? No. Fuck you.
It's a beautiful day.
It's a hungover day.
Don't let it get away.
It's a hungover day and I'm letting it get away.
I'm still pissed off that Mazda downloaded U2 onto my Mazda without permission of myself. That's like a violation of my privacy.
Your Mazda car did that?
Yeah, like when I turn on my car, it'll just start playing U2 and I don't have any U2 downloaded on my music. It just plays every time.
Yeah.
It's like I'm haunted by U2.
Did that come preloaded with your car?
That's what I'm saying. Anyways, I've talked about U2 longer than I want to, ever.
You just rhymed, man. Hold on. I'm doing some track stuff.
Okay, I'll just have a conversation with myself,
keep
man.
Talking.
What
keep,
the fuck?
Keep talking. Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself like you usually do.
How about you just fix the damn computer so we can have a regular conversation?
It's almost paranormal what's going on. I'm trying to click stuff, but my mouse is flying around.
You just sound like an old person. I'm clicking it, but it's not clicking. I forgot my password again.
Speaking of dicks, we're talking about sandworms.
What does that have to do with dicks?
They kind of look like dicks, man.
Man, I don't know what dicks you've been looking at, but I don't want to know if you think they look like dune worms. Where have you been in a YMCA locker room, man?
Giant dicks like winding in through the sand and stuff.
Is that how we're going to get into Dune with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Here it goes then. Dune. It's a novel by Frank Herbert.
Sounds like an ice cream.
Frank Herbert?
It doesn't taste that well.
It probably tastes like Frank, and I don't want it. So it's a sci-fi novel, and it tells the story of Paul Atreides, whose father is the Duke Leto, the ruler of planet Caladan. Through a turn of events, the Atreides house is ordered by the Galactic Emperor to occupy the planet Arrakis, which is a desert planet and hot as hell.
You just said so many foreign names, man.
Well, I'm explaining it.
You said Leto, Atreides, Arrakis.
So, yeah, Leto is Paul's dad.
Okay, who's Paul?
Paul is the main character of the story.
He's the little Willy Wonka dude.
Yeah. So
he's pretty much a man-child.
Let me tell the synopsis, though, before you start ripping into Paul.
Okay. I want to tear into everybody.
The main purpose of them going to Arrakis, the House of Atreides, right? Because they're asked by the Emperor to occupy that planet. The purpose,
Arrakis. Is a planet.
Yeah. What I said twice. So the purpose is to harvest a substance called spice or melange, which is a...
Melange.
All melange is derived from French, and it just means mixture. This highly valuable spice imparts extended life and enhanced mental abilities to those that consume it. And on top of that, the whole galaxy runs on the money generated from the harvesting and sale of it. So it's pretty important.
Is it like one current price all the time? And does the price go up and down kind of like gasoline? Like summertime, melange is a little hot.
It might vary because of those people harvesting it. But
Do you think harvesters get a cut of the melange itself, or did they get a cut of?
Yeah,
did they just get paid hourly?
They get a cut of the melange, but in terms of money, not like necessarily the spice. Everyone consumes spice on Arrakis because it's like in the air.
But okay.
Okay, let me continue, man.
I've had like 1,000 questions.
Oh my gosh.
It could be like a 10-hour episode.
The only thing is, the Emperor's intentions aren't exactly innocent, and what looks like a huge opportunity for the House of Atreides is actually a death sentence. Needless to say, the story opens up with Paul and his family making the trek across space to Arrakis, where their enemies are waiting to fuck them up.
And, royally, because they're royal.
And Paul, a young boy of only 15, is forced to grow up real fast and use every ounce of training by his Bene Gesserit mother to survive the perils of the desert and the Harkonnens that hunt him down.
The Harkonnens. Isn't that a term? Harking on somebody?
Yeah. Like, harking on and on.
Harkonnen. I'm on to you, Frank Herbert. Lazy writer.
And Paul forms a most unlikely alliance with the wild desert people, which are called the Fremen, who have prophecies about the coming Messiah that will lead them from their wasteland to an oasis. And they believe that is him.
Muad'Dib.
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 So, that's the rough outline. And I have read the book. I've listened to it. I really liked it. What did you think?
Of the audiobook? Yeah. Or Dune, like...
No, just the story.
It's like whiskey. If you could compare Star Wars to, which you really can, there's so fucking many similarities between Star Wars and Dune. I think George Lucas ripped off of Frank Herbert a little bit. Star Wars is like a fucking Smirnoff, and Dune is like Dune is like fucking Buffalo Trace whiskey.
Wow.
Like it's hard.
That is quite a difference.
It's hard.
So you're saying Star Wars is like watered down and like techno, like,
it's a little bit more
glitz and glam, and like
it's a little more feel. It's a little more feel good, kind of like Lord of the Rings. Like, there's hope in there. There's a character arc. There's expectation of what the hero's gonna become.
There's a clear right and wrong.
Yeah, throughout the story. Black and white. There's no gray area.
There's Dune, the Siths and Yoda.
Whereas Dune, it's a little more gray, and Dune is sort of its own. It's like a new genre of science fiction, because it was published in 1965.
Well, I think they had some pretty wild shit even then. I think there's a lot of other sci-fi out there. It's just that Dune is like got on the radar, so people know about it.
Yeah, so basically, in a nutshell, I thought the Dune story and universe is pretty fucking cool. It's really dark. You know what? Now that I think about it, it's pretty much a futuristic Game of Thrones. It's not funny. It's fucked up. And yeah,
dude,
that's all I got.
That might be the best analogy I've ever heard. A futuristic Game of Thrones.
Go ahead.
Holy shit. That just nails it. That encapsulates.
I just came
the
up with that
thing.
Off the fly, man.
Man, you need to post that on Facebook.
Yeah, what you got?
Nothing, man. I also liked it.
What'd you like?
All of it. Like, there's this coldness that feels kind of like nihilism when you read it, where...
Like, who gives a fuck?
Well, just...
You're in the fucking desert.
Just sort of this feeling of, like...
Fucking worms.
Things being so vast and complicated, and that there's no way you can possibly unravel it. And yet, while you're thinking that, and while Frank Herbert presents this world that feels like that, you have this character, Paul, who's so freaking...
Up his ass.
He's so freaking good at everything. Like, because he was bred by the Bene Gesserits. Like,
that kind of makes me mad why he's so good at everything. Because
right.
He's such a little young dude.
He's so perfected in his mental capabilities and also his training from a young age that he alone is kind of able to navigate the complexity that Dune and the whole universe kind of throws at him, as far as like he has this thing called prescience, which allows him to see different threads of future potentialities, and he can, through his actions, navigate his own and people around him's future by seeing that. It's
he's
wild.
Pretty much psychic.
but like way beyond there. It's almost like Neo. Like he's like the one.
He's Muad'Dib.
Yeah, which Muad'Dib means it's like this little rat or little mouse thing on Arrakis. It's really smart though, and it's able to maintain its moisture really well because Dune is so dry that everyone thinks moisture and water is like the most valuable thing. They have these things called still suits that pump their body's right. fluids.
If they had to, they'd lick the sweat off your ass, man. They need that no. water.
No, like it recycles your water and then you can drink it.
That's just disgusting. You can defecate, you can piss, and then you can drink your own shit.
Hey, man, if you're out in the desert and you ain't got nothing, you got worms after you.
I don't know. I think
you might too.
I think I'd just take my tubes out and just die before I drink my own shit, man. That's just fucked up.
Like, probably doesn't taste like your poo, man. You know what?
I just start pounding the ground like, take me, worm. I ain't eating my shit.
Wow. Okay.
But back to Paul's abilities. Aren't his abilities like psychic shit and all this crazy Muad'Dib mousy stuff? Like, isn't that amplified by the spice?
Yes.
Like,
it is.
He had like a grasp on his abilities, but the spice gave him a huge high. And he was like, whoa, now I've got crazy visions.
Yeah.
Now I can see fucking people dying everywhere.
It was really the perfect storm because.
That's funny. That's literally a storm, right?
It was the perfect storm. You know why? You know why? Because he was bred by the Bene Gesserits. Come on, man. This isn't funny. Why are you laughing about this? The Bene Gesserits are...
I wouldn't want to get solicited by the Bene Gesserits. I would not open my door.
It's worse than Bene Gesserits. It's worse than the Mormons.
That's what I feel like. God damn.
And they'll...
Stay the fuck away from my house.
And they'll make you go through the ganja bar.
No, fuck you.
So they're a sisterhood of nuns that pretty much are assassins. And they are schooled in the arts of persuasion.
They're assassin nuns.
Fucking fighting. Diplomacy.
Seduction.
Mental, it's a seduction. Mental calculations, senses, body control, mind control.
They're like
breathing control.
They're pretty much, if you think about it, like AI.
Yeah.
They're very calculated.
And his mom, Jessica.
They will fuck you literally. And, just so they can get their agenda.
Figuratively.
No, both. And marry you. Kind of almost like a fucking spy. Like they'll whatever it takes.
Yeah, because they just want to get the cream of the crop for the baby.
Yeah.
For the babies that are going to move their agenda forward.
Literally the cream.
And the Bene Gesserit. So
doesn't that sound like an omelet?
Yeah, it does. It does sound very omelety. So they're, like I said, they're like a non-maternal order of peeps that go across the galaxy.
Pretty much inbreds.
They want the best genes. So they will.
What is their agenda?
I'm going to tell you. I'm about to tell you. So they want to create the Kwisatz Haderach, which is...
Kwisatz Haderach.
Kwisatz Haderach.
Yeah,
I would like to buy a burger.
I would like to buy a burger.
So,
that burger.
The Kwisatz Haderach is a male with the ability to access both male and female ancestral memories. This unique ability...
Gay...
is a result of the Bene Gesserit selective breeding program, like I was saying, and it's aimed to create a super being with extraordinary mental and physical powers. And this individual is expected to have the power to see into the future and navigate the complex threads of unlimited potentials. And that's Paul.
Okay, what's their agenda in a nutshell? Can you say that all like
well,
in one
they want to create the Kwisatz Haderach.
Which is going to do what for them? Take over the fucking universe?
Well, they want, kind of, they want power.
So they're kind of fucking evil.
Yeah. That's the thing, is that's what's going through this whole threading through this whole novel, is his own mom,
it's
Jessica.
Part of the evil empire.
Kind of, but she kind of breaks away because she decided to have a boy. She gave Leto, his dad, a boy, which she wasn't supposed to do.
She's like, okay, I'm on board with this boy. Fuck the Bene Gesserits because I want to make sure that my son is successful leader of the universe.
You nailed it.
She wants her son to rule the universe.
You know what it is? She actually loves Duke Leto. Like, she genuinely loves the guy.
Oh, well, maybe shouldn't have fucked him. Like, I don't mean that literally.
What are you talking about?
I mean that metaphorically.
She didn't, though.
Didn't she kind of know that the Harkonnens were going to come?
Yeah, but there was literally nothing they could do. Even Duke Leto knew that the Emperor was bringing them there for a trap. Also, guys.
No way.
Spoiler alerts throughout this entire episode. I'm sorry. Maybe we'll put it in the title, but.
No, who gives a fuck? If you've been spoiled, then you should go.
I don't like the sound of that, man.
Then you should
choose a different
stop one. This episode and go listen to the audiobook for 30 hours straight.
Yeah.
And then come back.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And this might make sense.
Back to the spoiling.
No. No, back to Jessica. She, even though she knew it was a trap, he knew it was too. They brought everyone there and.
Wait, they both knew it was a trap?
Yeah.
The alternative is getting banned from the Legion, right?
Well, no one disobeys the Emperor.
Right, and if you do, you get fucked.
And even if you don't disobey him,
the Emperor,
you might get fucked by him. Like, really, he might just fuck you just because.
He was hoping you would decline so he could fuck you.
So it's a Wild West out there. Why? They're in between a rock and a hard place because they know it's a trap.
They're between a rock and a fat dude, but, fat baron.
And a desert. Yeah.
Big bouncy belly.
Yeah, so that's what I was getting at. Before they get invited to the planet, the Harkonnens, which are these big, bald dudes.
They were represented as ginger dudes in the early movie. They all look like they're ripping ass, like lighting farts off of each other's hair.
Let's get into that real fast, because...
Just like a quick fucking side quest.
Yeah, real quick, because we're talking about the story... Real quick, story,
we mean like 20 minutes.
We're talking about the story, Dune, and... The movie that came out.
The recent one.
The recent one with the good Timothy one. Chalamet.
The fucking good one.
Yeah. But there's a... Is it 1987?
1985, I think.
Dune that came out.
Or 1984. 1984, yeah.
Right.
I corrected myself, you fucking nerd.
And Dana and I tried to watch this. And we were unfortunate enough to be eating chicken at the time. And... Guys, if you want to watch the old Dune, do it. Like, but please, for the love of God, don't eat any kind of meat while you watch it.
It was disgusting. Like, they were all sweating the whole time.
It wasn't just the sweat, though. The Harkonnens were disgusting. They had, like, boils all over their face.
Which, by the way, Thade Ralpha, that guy, that actor was played by Sting, the musician. And he was being all sexy and stuff, like... He, like, came out shirtless, and the Baron was looking at him like a piece of meat. I was like, what the fuck? As I'm eating my chicken, and I'm like, oh, my God, what am I watching? Like, I'm watching, like, a potential porn is what I felt like, but it never went super far south, thank God.
That movie was messed up. Don't watch it unless you want to.
I'd recommend baking yourself a nice meal, getting all cozy. And then putting that movie on while you eat.
If you're with someone and you just do not want to get physical, put that movie on and it will kill boners for all time.
If you're looking to cut back weight, just watch that movie and maybe you'll lose your lunch, man. I'm sorry, but that's probably the most disgusting movie I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
It's Dune 1984.
That's high praise.
Like, I'm getting nauseous just thinking about
the movie. Okay, well, let's move on. Yeah. So, the new movie...
Way better.
It's way better. There is...
Way better.
There's something in the new movie that they captured perfectly, which is this industrial vibe.
Which is the jawline of Timothy Chalamet. Is that his name?
Yeah. But also the equipment and the technology, everything is super urban, but like, not urban. What am I trying to say then? It's like...
Yeah, let you stumble.
It's futuristic, but it
post-apocalyptic.
Looks, but kind of, but it also looks super industrial.
Industrial.
So it's like the things look cool, but they also have a purpose and there's a simplicity to them that bring the whole film to life. And the type of machinery you see, you're like, holy shit, like I could see that being the case in 2000 years.
Yeah. And did you know that, like, Frank Herbert, when he wrote the story out, he cut out a lot of shit about technology?
Technology?
T- techno, the mechanics of like the fucking machines and techno jargon. Like he cut out so much of it because he was worried that people would get bored.
I think people still got bored.
But imagine like how much more he had because yeah. His mind went so deep into like the workings of like a fucking crawler.
He made a world.
Yeah, he did.
He knew how to make a crawler.
He shat out a world.
Which crawlers are the things that harvest spice, by the way.
He knew how a crawler worked, man.
Like, the crawlers are these giant...
He knew how that crawler crawled.
They're these giant machines that go out onto the sand away from the cities.
It's like a giant ass warehouse on wheels.
What I gotta say is one of my favorite things about the story and the movie is the Fremen. Because the Fremen are the wild natives of Arrakis, and they live outside of the main cities, and they have somehow figured out how to survive on a world with like no moisture and super harsh conditions, super hot temperatures, and there's worms that are trying to eat you as you're walking around, and you got to do this funny little dance to go through the sand or they will get you.
You gotta walk like you got a fucking shit in your pants.
Kind of like a drunk guy after a late night.
like you got a full load in your diaper.
No. Oh. If you did have a full load, that'd be some extra water for you. So
yeah, or some extra
winner there.
Extra grub for the worm. Little chocolate.
Oh my god. Why is that so funny? Okay, let's get back on track. And now, Dana will enter the arid world of Arrakis.
I don't want to.
As he's forced to fight for his life in this segment of best worst case scenario. The sun has just crept over the windswept dunes, and immediately you feel its scorching heat.
Ouch.
You only have a short time. You put the recycling tube of your still suit into your mouth and drink the precious few drops of moisture. You're not used to this, and you're lost. But you know you need to find shelter away from the harsh sun. You spy a rock canyon up ahead that may offer shade, but it's no guarantee. You will also need to cross a large sand basin to get to it, in a region you know is full of worms. What do you do?
I make my way towards that fucking rock canyon, because I don't want to be in the desert. Fuck the desert. I'm gonna die there.
Please draw a card.
I got a fucking question mark.
What? Let me see.
Does that mean I get...
That's a seven.
No, Jesus.
Question mark.
Does that mean I get thopped out?
You do the correct movements that the worms mistake for sand blowing in the wind and arrive safely at a cavernous enclosure. But then, you hear something. The unsheathing of a knife and a rough voice say, "You have brought us the gift of your body's moisture. Will you surrender quietly?"
I ask, who the fuck is talking to me?
It is Stilgard, leader of the tribe.
I tell him, I'm Muad'Dib.
You want to tell him you're Muad'Dib?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you draw a card and see...
I'm fucking Muad'Dib. You ever heard of him?
Let's see if they believe you.
King of Hearts.
Dana becomes the leader, and all the Fremen shout...
Muad'Dib.
Muad'Dib!
I'm fucking Muad'Dib.
So, yeah, that is Dana going through Arrakis. And you know one other thing about the story?
I know a few other things.
Dune. Is there some crazy good wisdom in there? Quotes in Dune, and most people know the fear one. Do you know the fear one?
Fear is the mind killer. Is that it?
No.
No.
It's a... fear is the mind killer. I must not fear. I will watch my fear move through me and I'll watch it go by and then I'll look upon it.
That's not real. That's not what Muad'Dib said.
Really? You sure?
You motherfucker.
No.
Wow, I say fear is the mind killer, and you correct me with this bull.
Okay, this is the quote. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain.
Wow. That's what I tell myself every time I eat Taco Bell.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm sitting in my car, I'm like,
no, but that's
diary
like,
is the mind
that's
killer.
That's like a quote you could live your life by. Fear, it's the little death that brings total obliteration. Like, how true is that?
Fear is the mind killer, man. What are you afraid of, man?
You know, Frank Herbert looks a lot like Robin Williams.
That's what I fucking told you. I pulled you.
Yeah, man, I think you need to be cut off. Getting light. Too Duncan Idaho-y over there, man.
I'm light beers ahead of you.
That was perfect for this episode, too, man. It is light beers ahead of you all.
You motherfucker. Okay, how about some wisdom? Deep in the human unconscious is a pervasive need for a logical universe that makes sense. But the real universe is always one step beyond logic. From the sayings of Muad'Dib by the Princess Irulan.
That like encompasses it. It's like saying how the universe, no matter how much we try to categorize and like make sense of things, it inherently doesn't make sense. It's like logically illogical, always.
It always has to be the opposite of what you think is going to happen.
Right. And even in the some seeming chaos, there's an order. But as soon as you look into that order, then you find chaos. And the chaos and the order go into each other. And it makes us like infinite Russian dolls of chaos within order within chaos within order. It's nuts, man. That's why I like Dune.
When law and duty are one, united by religion, you never become fully conscious, fully aware of yourself. You are always a little less than an individual. From Muad'Dib, the 99 Wonders of the Universe, by Princess Irulan.
Man, she was bored.
She was writing in her journal all the time.
Yeah, because she didn't get none. It's really sad, actually.
It is.
Because Paul married her.
But he didn't want none. Because he had Dick Cheney.
No, he had Cheney. He had Cheney, which was his Fremen wife.
Which she was kind of a dick.
Wow, man, you're just making connections all over. Have you had some spice?
I've had some beer.
Seeing futures, seeing past.
I'm live beers ahead of you.
Oh my gosh.
It all started with a scrapped magazine article by the 1950s. Coastal Oregon had gotten fed up with a serious ecological menace. Sand dunes. This is what Herbert wrote in a letter. Sand dunes, pushed by steady winds, build up to waves analogous to ocean waves, except that they may move 20 feet a year instead of 20 feet a second. These waves can be every bit as devastating as a tidal wave in property damage. So Frank Herbert's initial idea for Dune kind of stemmed from this phenomenon that he went and studied, and he wrote some like short stories about it, and the publishers didn't like it, so he didn't, you know, submit it.
He's probably out there in his like makeup still suit, like walking around drinking his pee.
Probably.
Pretending he's in Atreides.
Yeah. The Dune story was also influenced by psychedelic mushrooms, which he was also on. It's kind of crazy because apparently fucking Paul Stamets, you know, the big mushroom guy.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Frank Herbert. I bet they were friends.
They were.
What? I was just joking, man.
No, they were.
God damn. Well,
sort of. They had a conversation.
I hate that I'm right.
But it's just crazy that there's so many little things that sort of contributed to the whole Dune story. Like the Oregon sand dunes, fucking Paul Stamets with mushrooms and spice. And then he wrote all these like little mini stories, and then he compiled into one story. And then guess who finally accepted publishing his story? Who? It was Chilton Publisher, which I think is still around today, but they publish, they're known for publishing car manuals.
They're like, this 5 pages about steel suits is the same as this Mazda manual.
That's like, we like this guy. He sounds very technical, very mechanical, very hands-on.
Maybe they just thought it was like a manual. They opened up some random page. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like he is talking like about a carburetor. Let's publish this man, Frank Herbert. He might be onto something.
And the rest is history.
There are some weird similarities, if you think about it, between Star Wars and Dune.
Yeah.
Because Dune came out before Star Wars. And you think about Arrakis, this deserty planet, as the origin story. And then you think about Tatooine, this desert planet, origin story.
Anakin! Yeah. Hey, guys, we will eventually do a Star Wars episode, too.
So I don't really want to.
I'll make Dana do one. Because we got to do Star Wars at some point.
I am your father.
Yeah. As far as sci-fi, though,
it's really a wormhole.
There's so much Dune-ier stuff out there, man, that we got to get into. So what I would ask you guys to do is any sci-fis that you really like, send some titles our way and get it on our radar so we know.
Send us a letter. Like a physical written out letter.
It better invite me to Hogwarts, too. I'm just saying.
Mine will be very happy if
would seriously be so happy if someone sent me a Hogwarts letter.
If he does, then I'll never see him again. Hey,
we need a P.O. box for people to send this
He'll just fucking disappear from me if he gets a Hogwarts letter. He's going to Hogwarts.
We'll put our P.O. box in the description for your Hogwarts letters to myself. So, thank you guys for listening to this episode of Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast.
BWCS.
I'm your host, Mayan.
I'm your host, Dana.
And it has been a sandy, wild worm ride.
If you read Dune, you could say you're a bookworm.
You could say that to all your friends that you definitely have.
Because you probably don't have any friends if you like Dune.
Hey, we're your friends. And
we're your only friends.
Dana and I are your friends. And we ain't going anywhere. You just turn us on and we're there. Right there, ready to get wormy. So,
wow.
Did that not come out right?
No comment there. But like us. Don't turn us on too much.
Subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. And we will see you in the next show.
Mwah, dude.